All right. Well, welcome everyone to the conference, to live LA21Live conference call. I'm going to do this all here in a split second, but just wanted to welcome you guys all in. Thank you for joining us. We have an awesome guest speaker this month. I'm really excited. I got the privilege to get to know Howard over the last couple of days, and I've learned so much from him. So I'm excited for you guys to learn from him as well. And I've been affected longer, and he's taught me so much already. So really excited for that. I am going to mute us all. So hang tight 2 seconds on that.
The conference has been muted.
Okay. And Howard, if you'll unmute yourself as well, please. Can you guys hear me? Oh, you can't tell me. Thanks. Howard? Well, while we wait for Howard, this past week was the fifth annual LA21Live, or the fifth annual UMDF conference. And it's actually really cool to think about because, gosh, I met Marie and Amy, what was it, 4 years ago, at a UMDF conference. And it's really cool to think that that's where this LA21Live conference call started. So it's kind of cool to reminisce, and my goal is to definitely get back soon. But Howard?
Jessica, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. He needs to press *7. I'm not sure if you said
Yeah, we said that before. Okay. I'll give him a couple of seconds. If not, I might unmute all of us. Howard? Okay. No.
The conference has been unmuted.
Okay. Howard, are you there?
I'm going to call back because I tried to start 7. Oh, give me one moment. Let me try this.
Okay. No problem. Everyone does sound pretty quiet, so maybe we could just try it without unmuting.
Jessica, there's a real feedback on your line. I think someone might be on speaker.
I'm going to call right back.
Okay.
I think someone maybe someone's on speaker.
Oh, yeah, I do hear that.
Yeah, it's like
if he calls back, how will that fix the problem?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So the echo was fine once you muted the old echo was fine.
But yeah, but does somebody need, somebody's on speaker because we're hearing ourselves. So we can hear ourselves. Like
yes, yeah. if two people are on the conference call from the same room, if you could hang up and just use the one single line, that would be very helpful.
See, that's why we have Andy, the technical man.
Right, agreed. Was I sounding funny when it was just me by myself?
Yeah. No, it was fun.
Okay.
I mean, yes, you sounded funny, but after you unmuted everyone.
Yeah.
You sound funny even when we're not talking, when we're not on.
Well, it sounded like whoever corrected the problem. It sounded like whoever corrected the problem, so thank you.
No, that was definitely just me because I'm too lazy to use a phone, and so I'm just at my computer using Skype, and so it was everyone's voices coming through the speakers of my computer.
Jessica?
Yeah, and who's that?
Howard.
Oh.
Jessica,
okay,
Howard.
Yes, hello. Are you ready to unmute and mute? You want to try it again?
Let me try to unmute.
Hold on, I'm going to mute us all first.
Okay.
Oh, hold on, two seconds.
The conference has been muted.
Okay, I'm back. Howard? No?
Jessica?
Yes, hooray! Okay, awesome.
Oh, good. Boy, so much for technology for me.
I love it. Okay, this is great. Oh, well, welcome. And thank you so much for being our guest speaker for July. I don't know if you're on the phone or not, but I was just mentioning to them how it's been so awesome to get to know you, and I've been affected longer than you have, and you've taught me so much even over the last couple of days. And so I'm excited for you to share your story, and I'm sure everyone's going to learn something, because I definitely have. So if you please just go ahead and share your story with us, and thank you for being here.
Sure. Well, I think we all can learn from each other. So let's see. So first I'll talk about what my situation before, during, and then after. So I grew up in the Bronx, and I went to school for electrical engineering at Columbia. And after that, I moved up here to the Boston area and worked for about 40 years in the medical device software and systems industry, patient monitors, clinical information systems, orthopedic systems, the works. Also got an MBA from BU in the process. And
wow.
Up until 2013, I'd never met a blind person. So my story is a little different than most. At age 61, I was in a software architecture meeting and had a headache, and went off and had a few Tylenol and came back. And when I finally went home, and when I woke up the next morning, I had, you know, what everybody else winds up with is a blurred vision in one eye. And I went to the doctor and laid in the hospital and had the four MRIs and the PET scans and the works. And even here with Mass Eye and Ear, it took 6 months for them to figure out what it was, because and actually the person who finally diagnosed it was the doctor that trained Nancy Newman and Dr. Sadoun and Dr. Guy. He trained them all, and he just recently passed away. And that affected one eye in May of 2013. Staying with the non-typical situation, my second eye didn't go for about 10, 11 months. That's when you're really blind, when you've got both eyes. One eye is, you know what it is. And actually, while I, during that interim, I went down and I saw Nancy Newman, and she was great. And let me just take the chance to echo now the thanks to Lissa and Maria for setting up and running such a great conference. It was great to go. So now I've lost my vision unlike most, I think it hit me later, but it hit me harder. So what I can see is light and some shadows, and that's about it. And the light is really, really harsh and difficult for me. So I sometimes wear two sunglasses and a hat. So the picture taking we took was really difficult for me. I was a director of research and development and product development for a medical device company, and I continued to do the job for about 9 months, and the company I worked for was amazing with accommodations they did, including but not limited to sending a taxi cab 45 miles to come and get me, to bring me to work and then to bring me home. They got me, before I learned JAWS and some of the technology, they hired a scribe and a reader for me. It was really quite good, and I did the whole job. I couldn't tell the difference from one engineer to another visually. I had to talk to them first. I think I did pretty well. Now, then after about, let's see, about 6 months, I went to the, and I have to say, I'm very lucky to live in Massachusetts. Because in Massachusetts, we have the Red Sox, the Patriots that I know you all love as well. We have the Celtics. And we also have the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. And I have to say, anything I say here is what I found to be helpful. I'd encourage all of you to do the same. I'd encourage everyone to contact your state commission for the blind and get all the help they have to offer, particularly if you're working or you want to work or you're looking for work. That becomes vocational rehab, which means the state is very happy to provide help. What'd you say? So I did that, and
that was me.
And the the Mass Commission for the Blind was, you know, they got me technologies, they got me training. And before I forget, throughout my talk, I'm going to use some concepts here, all that start with P, and there'll be six of them. So I haven't used one yet, but I will. So the Mass Commission for the Blind, funded my time at the Carroll Center for the Blind, and there were people from about 15 states that came to the Carroll Center for the Blind for an independent living program and JAWS training, voiceover, how to cut a strawberry, you know, how to, how to do the laundry, how to use JAWS on a PC, how to use voiceover, how to use a Victor stream. And I'll get into some of the technologies that I use, extensively. And, so I was there for, a 14-week independent living program and a 2-week JAWS program, and that was great. The other great thing about Massachusetts is the Massachusetts Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, MABVI. And MABVI is the oldest volunteer organization in the country. I think it was started by Helen Keller. And they've sent volunteers, and I have volunteers from MABVI that come and help me with things around the house. So what I found going back to work and working, I found some of the things that I really found that were important was that you need to be very persistent in what you do. You need to be persistent in advocating for yourself and getting what you need. You need to be persistent in trying to do things that were otherwise hard and easy and now become hard. So that's one P. The other thing you have to become is very patient. So to travel, I use the MBTA ride in Boston, which is a paratransit, which I'm sure everybody's paratransit requires a lot of patience. And that's another key word. I also use Lyft, and Boston just initiated a partnership between the Mass Bay Transportation Association and Lyft and Uber, and I get a subsidy for every Lyft, a $13 subsidy for every Lyft that I take. That's just a great program because you can get a Lyft in 10 minutes. So I use that for travel. Some of the technologies I learned were JAWS, which I was able to then write my own emails instead of somebody writing them for me, read them. On the phone, I use VoiceOver. On the PC, I use JAWS. JAWS is a little difficult with the internet, but I'm still learning. And as I said, you need to be persistent in learning and patient in waiting for things that otherwise would have been easy to get. The other thing I'd say that's important is to be positive. And having a positive attitude helps us in a lot of ways. A, it's a lot easier to be positive than to be negative. Also, you get a lot more help from people when you're a positive person with a good outlook than if you're a negative one. And lastly, we're all ambassadors for everyone that's blind. So if someone meets you, you might be the first blind person they met. If you give them a good impression, you've done a good service to the next blind person that person will meet. So it's very important that we're all positive and are ambassadors for the blind. So positive. And the next one I'd say is people, another P. So it's very important. You know how you may not like asking for directions when you can see? Well, when you're blind, you need to rely on people. You need to rely on your family. And I have a great wife, and I have two 20-something children, and they can rely on your family, you can rely on your friends, and you can rely on the people that you don't even know that you pleasantly ask for help from. So I was in the airport coming back from the conference, and I wanted to use the men's room, and I told my wife I'll find it myself. You don't have to walk very far with a white cane before somebody asks you if you need any help, and then you ask them a question, and they tell you which way to go. I wanted to make a comment about canes as well. I notice a lot of people at the conference don't use canes, and that's, you know, I'm envious of that. But if you need a cane, then it's a really good thing to use. Who cares what anybody else thinks, first of all? And second of all, it'll keep you from falling down. And I got my mobility instruction came from people at the Carroll Center. And we're all eligible to get help from an O&M instructor personally as much as we need. The American Disabilities Act means we cannot be discriminated in the workplace or in seeking work. So I think a cane is cool. I think it also improves your posture a little bit when you walk with it. And it certainly takes the stress out. I tried initially doing things visually, and initially I could kind of eke out things when they were magnified in a big way. But I also found it very kind of calming to finally use the non-visual technologies that are available and just kind of relax. So I probably read about 3 books a week, and I use it. You can use it on your phone with NLS Bard. If you're legally blind, NLS Bard is free for everyone. I use a Victor Stream very extensively, and it's the greatest tool you can get for books, for podcasts, for newspapers, for the radio. And I also use a site called Blind Mice Mega Mall, which has a movie vault. So I download the movies from the site. They're MP3s, so they're not too big. There's the sound and there's the audio description, and you can just sit back and relax and watch the movie, just like at the movies. And that's another great thing. So if you get a chance to get a Victor Stream in your hands, I would encourage it. Let's see. So did I miss? What other P's have I done? Persistence. I've done people. I've done positive. I've done patient. The next thing I'd like to say is that another P is purpose. And I think it's very important for your own mental health and for your own, you know, development and growth. You should really have a purpose. And whether you're going to school or trying to get to go to school, or whether you're just starting a career or wherever you are in life, having a purpose to what you want to have something to focus on and to do, I think are very important. So I worked for about 9 months blind, and then I worked a little part-time, and then I decided it was too much, especially with all the travel I had to do. So I converted my job. I stopped that job, and I became a mentor at MIT for 2 mentoring programs. One is called the Venture Mentoring Service, which mentors MIT students, faculty, alumni that want to start entrepreneurial ventures. So I mentor with that, and I also mentor with a sandbox program where they give money to students to be entrepreneurial. I know I'm the only blind mentor. And it's really good. And I can use the skills and experience that I have and apply them in a different way. So it's very important to have purpose. I also sometimes go sailing in the Boston Harbor with something called Sail Blind Boston, where they have sighted guide sailors and blind sailors. In fact, at MIT, I was at a mentoring meeting, and I was one of the other mentors was talking about how he loves to sail his so many feet boat. And I said, well, would you be interested in being a sighted guide sailor? And he became one of the, so he joined Sail Blind and he's one of the sighted guides. What I found most interesting was it took me 3 1.5-hour interviews in order to be accepted to volunteer my time. So it's kind of funny, but I'm very happy to do that. Recently, right before the D.C. trip, I took my first plane, which I hadn't taken for 3 years, and we went to Turks and Caicos. And one of the best things about going to Turks and Caicos is the resort we were staying at was where Stevie Wonder's daughter has at her wedding. And I was going to go on a snorkeling trip with my wife, and I thought I'd sit on the boat. Come to find out, Stevie Wonder went snorkeling. So I went snorkeling, too. I put all the gear on. They put 150-foot rope, you know, on something for me to hold on to, and off I went. I got back on the boat, and someone said to me, so what did you see? I said, I think I saw about as much as Stevie Wonder, and I had just as good a time. So there's very little you can't do except drive. Most everything else, you can find a different way, and with using all those P's, you can do those things and more. And it's not a bad time to be blind, although there's never a good one. But the technology allows us to do most everything. And one of the comments I wanted to make is, I think everyone with LH01 is kind of lucky. Because if you think about it, and I'm also involved in something called the Bay State Council of the Blind. And the thing I think we're lucky about is all of us have been able to see before we lost our vision. We know what a dandelion looks like and what a blue sky is and what an apple looks like. We have visual, maybe I've seen the mountains. I've been to the Canadian Rockies and the Grand Canyon. We know what these things look like. There are many people who have never seen a single thing. And there are many people who have, you know, it's just very important to realize that as difficult as, none of us would like to have this, but as difficult as it is, we need to realize others have, and also if you went to the conference and you saw the UMDF patients, it's just different. So Jessica, what am I missing? What have I left out that I wished I'd said?
Well, I think it was that after talking to a few, the key that I've learned is perspective. There are so many things that you shared, and I was, like, totally giggling while I was on mute. And there are so many things that I've learned from you, and you gave such a different perspective about work and how you found a new purpose and something else that you found a new love for through mentoring, which is super impressive. And just kind of putting things in perspective, I actually, after we spoke last week, I went to a dinner with one of my friends, and I took my cane. I was like, Howard would be so proud of me right now. And so It's just you offered a different perspective of something I've never thought about. So that's what I loved about your story.
I think that's a good piece, and now we have 7.
I left one out,
and that's pride. And I think it's
important.
And yeah, I knew I left something out. That's the trouble when you don't have notes. I think when you accomplish the things that you set out to accomplish with a vision impairment in tow, there's a lot to be proud of. And I think that was the 6th P and yours was the 7th. So I think that's, and everybody on this call has something to be proud of as well. And I don't think that should be left out.
And small successes, right? Like, actually introduced Howard to Facebook Messenger. So if you do want to shout out to him. He's got Facebook Messenger set up and small success, but obviously also done at the conference. So that was really cool just to have a different way to communicate, and that way you could connect with anyone that wanted to talk to you after the call. So I thought that was great. But small success.
Yep. In fact, it was Michael Mulish that set it up for me, and I said, you send the first message to Jessica, and then let me see how you do it. And then Jessica sent me one, and I sent her one back. So I'm expert now.
That's perfect. And you're tech savvy. There's a couple things that you use that are tech savvy that I actually didn't know its capacity. Will you share a couple things that you use on a daily basis?
Sure. I use the phone like everyone else with VoiceOver. I use a PC with JAWS. I use the Victor Stream, which is just the coolest tool. I carry that in my pocket even every day. Even though you can do much with an iPhone, the Victor Stream with its buttons is designed for the blind. I use something called a Pen Friend, which is also something your Commission for the Blind can probably get you. It allows you to kind of program labels inside of a voice labels on little dots that you put places, then you put the Pen Friend back on the dot and it reads it. What else do I use? I use a lot of sunglasses. I have a talking bathroom scale. I have a talking thermometer. I have I have Alexa. In fact, I have one downstairs and a dot in my bedroom, and it's amazing.
Oh,
all
her.
The things you can. She's great. In fact, I'm so glad I didn't name my daughter Alexa. It would be a real problem.
True.
What else do I use? I use the cane. And the cane is probably, if I could only have one assistive device, it would be the cane. Because without it, you're not independent. Well, I'm not independent. Maybe many of you are, and that's great. But, you know, when I started at the Carroll Center, I could see a little more than I could see now. And what they do at the Carroll Center is many of the things you learn occluded with like a blindfold. So, well, why do I want to do this? And the orientation mobility instructor said, well, when you're outside a long time and you go inside, what can you see? I said, I can't see anything at all. Said, there you go. So I use that. I use talking pill cases for my medication, and from Walgreens mail service, you get talking pill caps. From CVS Caremark, you get something called Script Talk, where they have an RFID tag on the bottles.
So do you scan with your phone?
No, you can't scan them with your phone. They're
free. How do you read it?
The talking pill caps, you push a button, and someone, when the prescription was filled, they say, prescription for Howard Sumner, and here's what it is, and here's when to take it. And on the Script Talk, they send you for free a little reader device, and you put the pill case on top of the device, and it reads, you know, this is what the prescription is for, and this is what to take. So there's just a lot of stuff that you can get. I go to the movies, although I think Blind Mice Mega Mall is better than the movies. On the way home, I watched quote unquote Hidden Figures, which is a great movie. And if anyone hasn't seen that, or if anybody on this call hasn't seen it, then go to Blind Mice Mega Mall, go to the movie vault, type in Hidden Figures on the search box, download it onto your download files, and then move it to an SD card and put it in your Victor Stream. So.
Yeah, just to be clear, you're not – actually, there's no movie picture you're showing. It's just, like, doing all the audio description for you, like an audiobook, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So we're blind, okay, cool. So you don't need to look at it.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, I started out trying to stick my nose by the TV screen, and it's stressful. And when you use a CCTV and you crank it up so all you can see is a quarter of a line, that's exhausting. If you use the technologies, the voiceover and the JAWS, then it's relaxing. I sit, use my laptop with the top closed. I use my phone with the screen curtain on, so I save more batteries.
True.
I think those are the main things.
And efficiency, you know? And everyone tells me, and I'm working on this, I'm getting JAWS training, everyone tells me I'm going to be more efficient using JAWS and just saving your vision for seeing your kids or saving your vision checking out that, I don't know, whatever you want to check out, cute dress or something. But
right.
Efficiency, especially with JAWS.
Look.
Oh, yeah, look,
that's
true.
Right. Yeah, it's just less stressful to do things non-visually that can be done non-visually. And then if you have some vision and you can use it for the things that, you know, that are really important to you, then I think that's, you know, then lucky you. But if you don't have vision, you can still be pretty productive. Oh, we didn't make productive a P, but what's, you know,
ooh,
you get the point. A lot of it is just deciding that you're going to move on and, you know, your choices are not very many, and the best choice is to move forward, take the hand you are dealt and play it. And that's how you stay healthy. I also swim. And I have a short swim story. I used to swim like a mile and then I wasn't swimming at all. So I went to the pool where they give me my own lane. And I started swimming, and I realized after two or three laps, I thought my very poor vision was getting worse. I could kind of almost sort of make out the line in the bottom. After two or three laps, I couldn't make out the line in the bottom, and I thought maybe it's the pressure from the goggles, maybe it's the water, maybe it's my exerting myself, don't know, and I jump out of the water, and I like stress out and go to the locker room and find my way out of there and just kind of run out. Well, someone gave me the idea that maybe the goggles are fogging up. So I got some help from my MABD volunteer. We ordered some new goggles, and today for the first time I went back to the pool and used the new goggles, and I swam. I didn't swim that far. I only swam like eight laps, and I could sort of kind of maybe sort of see the line at the bottom of the pool like I used to do on my first and second lap, but I could see it for the whole swim, so I can't wait to go back swimming again.
Ah, it's very cool.
So,
what a great resource you have.
Which one?
all of them, but Mavi, and having been able to call them up and say, hey, I've got this, and they come up with some great solutions for you. That's awesome.
Yep. Well, I think in every state, I mean, I'm lucky to be in Massachusetts, especially with the Patriots, but I'll bet in every state there are volunteer organizations. You told me about a volunteer organization you use for running.
So
I guess my main message is find the resources that will help you and use them. Because they're not going to come and find you, but you can find them, and they're not that hard to find. And then, you know, take advantage of that which is available to us. So that's kind of my overall message. All those P's, plus take advantage of what's available to you.
I love it. And I love it. And I'm sure everyone will agree with me. I mean, I'm so impressed and just so, I feel like I've learned so much from you, and you really do add a great perspective that I've never really thought of. And it's as always, great to hear from you and great to learn something new. And I had no idea about those pill bottles. So every single time I talk to you, learn something new. So there we go. That's awesome. But shall we open it up and see if anyone has any questions? All right, let's open it up. But
the good news is I don't have to hit any buttons.
True. One second.
The conference has been unmuted.
Hello, friends. Well, I'd love to open it up and please ask Carol any questions that you may have and share. And I do think you all agree with me. Isn't he awesome? And I do hear some feedback. So if you guys don't mind putting you guys on mute until you're going to say something, that'd be awesome. And if I'm on speakerphone, if you could just take us off speakerphone, then it won't bounce back as much. Please.
Hi, my name's Diane from Florida. Would I be able to ask a question, please?
Absolutely.
Sure. I haven't had the privilege to join one of the conferences at all yet, but my two sons who have been affected have seen Dr. Guy in Miami, and I'd like to know at the conference, have you had any updates about how all the, I guess we have to call it, the 3 to 5 year programs that are going on for the results that we hope will be fantastic very soon. Have you had any updates to let everyone know how all the patients are doing?
Diane, this is Lissa. Let me take that question if I can. Basically, there's really no update that the doctors are able to give at this time because the trials are really all in progress. So, you know, there was talk about what's going on in the various trials. But, again, all they can tell us is that, you know, they're in various stages. Like you said, Dr. Guy, you know, he's still recruiting patients. His group is looking for people who are in the acute unilateral situation. So if anyone, for instance, has a family member who has the 11778 mutation and starts having blurry vision, then that would be someone who could be recruited and potentially participate in that trial. But they can't give results until each trial is fully recruited, data is gathered, analyzed, and published. There's sometimes some interim results, but nothing since the last conference on that one. Same thing with GenSight. They have 2 gene therapy trials underway. They've fully recruited for the one with 7 to 12 months, and they just have a few spots open for people affected in 0 to 6 months. And they hope to, you know, the people who participated, they're gathering data. But there's nothing to report on that again until they break the seal a year from now. GenSight has been continuing to publish information about their phase 1 study, because their phase 1 study was a safety trial. And so as that goes on, those updates do get posted into the group. And, you know, they report on the small number that was in there. But again, there's nothing they can present. There's also the stealth study going on with eye drops with 12 patients out of Pasadena and Dr. Sadoun's group. But again, you know, all that we can say is that it's been fully recruited. People are participating. Data is being gathered, but only when the time is over will there be information that can be published.
Yes, I appreciate that information very much. It's exciting to have small updates as much as that is important for everyone. And I appreciate the information you just shared with us this evening, and I thank you very much.
Excuse me, Diane?
Yes.
Diane? Are you Diane Goff?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, this is Susie Purvis-Danoff. I just wanted to make sure you were in LHO in Florida.
Yes, and
yes,
my son had hoped to be on the call this evening. Again, we're from Pasco County, Florida, just north of Clearwater. And again, we all pray for good happenings in the very near future.
Yes. Howard?
Yes?
This is Chris Herbst. I thought your presentation was excellent. I liked your use of the P words. That was very effective. I must be living in the dark ages because I don't know. You call it Alexa?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. Could you explain, please?
Yeah.
That's it's called the Amazon Echo as well. And what it is a it's a speaker speaker with a processor, and it's made by Amazon. Google has one as well called Google Home, and Apple's about to come out with one called, I don't know what it's called, Siri Home. Samsung is about to come out with one, and Alibaba is about to come out with one. And basically what it is a, it's like Siri, you know Siri on your phone?
Yes.
This is Siri on a big or sometimes a little speaker that has a wide range microphone. So you can sit in your kitchen and say, Alexa, what time is it? Alexa, what's the weather in Phoenix, Arizona? Alexa, what's 492 divided by 37? Alexa, play music by Bob Dylan. And it can do all those things and a lot more. And it's,
I ordered this on Amazon.
Yes. In fact, the Amazon Dot, the one that's the size of a hockey puck made for Canada, is that's only like 40 or 50 bucks. And the one with the big speaker that looks like a paper towel roll. Imagine a paper towel roll with about a third of the paper towels left.
Right.
You stand it up. That's what the Amazon Echo looks like. And Alexa is the keyword that you use to wake it up.
Okay, thank you.
So it's really, really cool.
Yeah, sounds like. Thank you.
Hello, can everybody hear me? This is Tony Wright in Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Yep.
Do you hear me, Howard?
Yes.
Well, first,
I am getting some feedback.
Are you? I don't have my speaker on or anything, so.
No, you're good.
Okay. Well, first of all, Howard, great. Well, very inspiring. That was great. This is my first call, and I was at the conference. I do have a general question. My son has, I think, been affected for about 2 months. His grandmother had LHON. He had some blood work done. He's been waiting about 3 or 4 weeks. He got a call from the doctor today. The doctor said his results were abnormal, and they wanted to talk on the 19th. I don't know if that's sort of a standard kind of response rather than saying anything about what the results are. Can anybody share anything about, I mean, obviously you can't say what you think for sure that means, but is that normally what a doctor would say and not talk about things over the phone?
Mine made me come in, and he read everything to me like 2 weeks later. So.
I think that sounds like something that's definitely going to be a case-by-case doctor approach. I was actually given my diagnosis in a voicemail, so that's very different.
Mm. Okay. Mm. Well, like I said, you know, I didn't know what was sort of standard procedure about that, but.
Tony, this is Lisa. I would encourage you to call him back and say, look, if you're saying it's abnormal, I would say that you know about LHON. You just went to a conference on it with, you know, 130 people. You're pretty well informed. And if they could tell him the mutation, you know, there's no reason why they can't. You know, the reason why they would want someone to come in is if you've never heard of it before, there's probably a lot of questions and all that. But you're pretty far ahead of the curve. There's like people are saying there's no reason. I mean, my son got his information over the phone. So there's no reason against it. And, you know, knowing specific mutation might inform what choices your son makes, you know, and so waiting a day or two, why wait, right? I mean, you really want to know which mutation to make certain choices. So if it were me, I'd call back and ask them to give it over the phone and see if they would.
Yeah. And in this case, it's 2 weeks. I mean, he won't go see the doctor for 2 weeks, and that could be the difference between getting in some kind of a trial and not.
Exactly. That's why I would certainly call. It's good to find out if there's a protocol, but there's no specific reason other than his practice. And it's not a bad idea if you were just a normal patient. Like I said, you're way ahead of the curve. So just getting, asking, and they should be able to fax the results, and you should be able to see it. But all you really want to know is, okay, it's abnormal. You would have expected that based on the family history. Now just tell you what mutation is it. That's really what you want to know.
Yeah. Thanks, Lisa.
Sure.
Hey, Tony, this is Wayne. I was curious what your last name was. I don't know if I met you or not at the conference.
Don't know. Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T.
Wright, okay.
Met a lot of people. It was a fabulous conference. It was.
Who were you there with?
There with my wife, my son. Okay. My son was working. He decided he was just going to keep after it. He's in Nashville. So.
And how old is he?
How old?
He's 40.
40?
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
Yes, how was
no excuse for him not to come next year, then, right?
Yeah.
Great presentation you gave. I don't know if you're familiar with the RCAM.
Yes.
I got an opportunity to get my hand on this RCAM, and, man, it's a great tool. You know, it's a point, and it has facial recognition. It'll read your any kind of reading that you do. Basically, you just point at it and, you know, get it close to that area, and it'll read everything out to you, which is that is another great tool if you ever get a chance to get your hands on that RCAM.
ORCAM?
Yes.
OR?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. It's kind of pricey, but
yes,
it sounds like it does a good job.
Yes, it has. You know,
like
it's a facial recognition. You just point at it, and a point at the object that you point at, and they just tell you what who that person is once you get their voice in it. And for reading cans, reading letters, it has been a great tool for me to use.
That's great. I think that's wonderful, and I think as technology like that it'll become more accessible when its price is driven down, and its price will be driven down. For now, I ask people who they are, and they tell me.
Right. That's how I am. Correct. Yes, sir.
You're going to be at this conference next year, Oscar?
That's my goal. That is my goal.
All right, man.
We had a money issue, so next year we're going to try to plan and save up for it. So that is my goal.
We'll start a fundraiser for Oscar.
Is Lisa. Just so everyone is aware, Oscar and everyone else, the UMDF does have a scholarship program. Obviously, there's not enough money in the program to support everyone. But there were several folks there this year who had applied for and received scholarships, and I think the maximum they can give is like $500. And I'm not involved with like how it gets done. You know, there's a group at UMDF, and they receive the applications. They assess everyone's individual situation. They identify, you know, what funds there are, and there are some sponsors of the conference who, you know, make this possible. So if you we'll talk about these deadlines again when we head into next year's conference, but just tuck it in the back of your mind, anyone who's thinking about going and thinks that, you know, finances are going to be what keep you away. I mean, again, it can't afford to pay for everyone, but, you know that there is that vehicle to consider, and that can help make it an easier path for some folks.
Thank you. So, Melissa,
sure.
Just go online and go what – site do you go on to get the ball rolling?
They won't open it up for like 6 months. It's like I understand how they feel. Everybody at UMDF right now is collectively taking a deep breath and recovering from, you know, everything they didn't do for the last 3 to 6 months because they were gearing up to put on what we all just went through. And then, you know, the hotel room is booked and they'll be putting together, you know, speakers and everything will start getting put together.
Okay.
And in about 6 months or so, you know, that's when the hotel will start taking, you know, they'll set the pricing and they'll put up, you know, how to get your hotel room, and the travel scholarship thing will go up. So you can't do it now,
okay,
but you're plugged in, right? And we'll talk about it on the conference.
Yeah.
We'll post it up in the group, and just and at any time you can always message me. You know, when it's been 6 months and it's like if you want to know, I can always, you know, send people a link when it's up.
Okay,
so it's just something to be aware of.
Thank you.
Yep.
Hello, Howard. This is Brian
yes.
Bidding from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah, you are lucky because you have the Patriots and I have the Eagles. You have the Celtics and I have the 76ers. You have the Red Sox and I have the Phillies. So you are, in fact, a very fortunate man. But
yes,
saying all this,
that's how I feel.
Saying all this, you know, we've learned things about smoke and alcohol, which aren't good for our optic nerve, but does, it's swimming. Does chlorinated water, can that have any detrimental effects on your optic nerve? We have a very lovely Y here that I could use to swim in, but I was worried about the effects perhaps of chlorine. Do you know anything in that regard?
No, I forgot to ask Dr. Newman. I don't know. I'm assuming not, but I have no idea.
I mean, this is Melissa. I've never heard anything like that. And logically, I would imagine that since the eye is not the problem, it's the optic nerve. So, you know, maybe the chlorinated water might, you know, affect the eye like it does for a person with, you know, that isn't affected. But I can't imagine it's a problem. And we've got, like, someone like Tucker Dupree, who's a Paralympic swimmer and using chlorinated water all the time. And you would think someone would have brought that up. So I haven't heard of it. I don't see where the connection is. So I'd say go right ahead and swim from what I know.
Thank you.
Howard, this is Oscar Johnson out in Annapolis again. You said something about goggles. What did you get your goggles? What's your goggles at? How did you order them?
I ordered them. Well, I cheated. I used Amazon, and I have a volunteer that came to my house, and I said to them, "Let's go on Amazon. Here, you sit in front of the computer." I know there are blind people that use Amazon just fine, but it seemed a little complicated to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I should go find the goggles that are most popular and have the best review, and that's what we bought. But I do have to say, when I was going to the Caribbean for my vacation, I'm very light sensitive, so I had my volunteer at the time go on Amazon. I said, find me some goggles that are tinted. So she went on, and she found the tinted goggles, and she said, well, here's one, but it's got a rating of 1, which is the lowest. And I said, well, read the comment of why it's rated 1. And the reason, what the comment said was, these goggles are awful. It's like wearing a welder's goggles. You can't see anything. I said, what are those goggles? So I got these goggles that are very tinted, and I went swimming in the ocean, in the sun, without a hat, without sunglasses, and they worked. So but I guess the moral of that story is when you see ratings, you have to see why they're rated the way they are, because a poor rating for everybody else was a superior rating for me on the tinted goggles. But the short answer is Amazon.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, Howard, it's Lisa from Canada.
Hi, Lisa.
I want to say it was a pleasure to meet you, and your speech just now was very inspiring. I have a question.
Mm.
You mentioned something about being able to read pill bottles.
Yes.
Now, is that just available in the States? Because I've never heard of that here in Canada. Any idea?
I don't know, but I suspect you have Walgreens in Canada?
No.
Nope.
Okay. So there's Walgreens, and do you have CVS Caremark in Canada?
Not that I'm aware of.
Whoever the biggest drugstore chain is, I'm willing to bet that they have accessible labels.
Is that what I would ask them? If they have accessible labels?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because the I don't mean accessible labels where you use a magnifying glass. They have talking labels. And I think you can also What's kind of funny is the talking pill caps that I got from Walgreens. I don't use Walgreens anymore, but I figured out how to take the talking pill caps and reprogram them to be whatever I want them to be. But I suspect you can get accessible pill labels.
Very neat. Thank you.
Yep.
Lisa, this is Marianne Howard. I have a talking pill bottle that I got for one prescription, and I got it at my local medical group hospital. So, you know, your own doctor's office or pharmacy could also have it as well. And I did write a blog on it, and I actually did a little video tutorial about them. But they're pretty cool. They're pretty cool. But just, you know, go to whatever pharmacy you use, ask if they have talking pill bottles for visually impaired, and it'll be a yes or a no.
Okay, perfect.
And yeah, try that.
I have one more question. Howard, you were going to show me how your Victor's stream thing worked. And we never did get the opportunity at the conference, unfortunately. But where can you buy something like that? Amazon, right?
Well, probably you can buy it on Amazon, but I don't know what you have in Winnipeg, but in the states, every state, I think if you advocate for yourself with the State Commission for the Blind, and I suspect in Canada there are provincial commissions for the blind, they'll provide it for you, possibly. Otherwise,
we might have free health care, but we don't get anything else for free.
I think the company is called HumanWare. So if you go to humanware.com, you can probably buy it online. And I think if I had to buy this with my own money, I would buy it.
It's anywhere $300 to $500.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I think it's like $350.
Yeah, unfortunately, here in Manitoba, it is provincially run in across Canada, and where I'm from, the CNIB, like the Blind Institution, does not cover any of those expenses. So it's out of pocket.
I think if you were going to spend money on something, if I look at all the tools and stuff I have, you know, the talking bathroom scales and the thermometers and everything else, I would pay my own money for a Victor stream because it is, and if you get one and you want somebody like me to explain it to you, just call me and I'll be happy to go over it with you. But it's just great. I suspect you have something like the NLS Talking Book Library where you can get them all downloaded onto a Victor as well.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. You might be receiving
a
call from me then.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for your comments, too, and it was nice to meet you.
Yes, it was very nice to meet you, too.
Howard, this is Jeff from Virginia.
Yes.
I got my Victor 3 in through the VA. I was in the military when I lost my eyesight, and they have helped me out tremendously. You know, my CCTV, I get a computer through them with Zoom text, and I get my Victor reader. They just helped me out so much.
Well, I think you deserve it. So I'm glad that they're helping.
Well, thank you.
Isn't the Victor great?
Oh, I use it every day. Every day. I mean, I use my CCTV, my Victor stream. I use my computer. I mean, all three of those. That's how I met my wife, is on the computer. And it's a light, you know, I didn't have any of those items for a long time, because I've been affected for 30 years, and I didn't have those for a long time. Then when I got them, you know, it changed my life, and it just made it so much more accessible.
Yes, I mean, there's no reason why we can't have what most people have. It's just
right. Different. Yeah, if you got the will, there's a way.
Exactly. That's exactly the way. The way I feel, and if you don't have it, you need to get up and if you don't have the will, you need to get up and dust yourself off and get it, because
the way I look at it, there's always somebody out there worse than you are, and you just gotta deal with the hand that you were dealt.
I agree completely.
And this is Marie again, and that's the one thing that we've talked about on other calls. It's not the dealt, you know, hand we were dealt, but different countries, different states have different health care and different charity organizations and Department of Blind Services. So everybody's going to be different.
And, you know, so one person may get it from a charity organization, another person has to buy it, another person gets it from their state department of rehab, another one orders it on Amazon. So there, when you say there's a will, there's a way, you know, the states, we get charged an arm and a leg for healthcare here. Over in Europe, you know, not so much. So, you know, there are going to be a lot of differences, a lot. So keep that in mind.
Sure. But we should, everyone should advocate for themselves and get what they can and make their choices on and their decision on what they can afford to get for themselves as well. But you're right, Maria.
Hi, Howard. Hey, this is Bob Banks out in California.
Hey, Bob. Hi.
How you doing? Good.
Good.
I think you and I spoke, I don't know, it's been probably about a year now. So I'm
yep.
probably only a year into mine, but I just always appreciate your you know, your insight on things and your positive attitude on how you've dealt with your situation, and it just carries over. And I think, you know, that's why I spoke up right now, because I was going to say how you've always talked about how you have to be an advocate for yourself and really drive for it. You can't sit back on your hands and just say, poor me, and how come I'm not getting this and I'm not getting these tools. You have to really drive for yourself. And but that being said, there's a lot of tools and resources out there for us to get. Whether we pay a little, whether we pay a lot, or some are free, some aren't. There's just a lot of things out there. But something you mentioned that really resonated with me, too, is, you know, I was having one of those bad days early on in my situation, and I had the state rehab folks come out and do a work assessment for me, and this lady was just whipping through the phone and whipping through the Zoom text and just going so quick. And I go, man, how do you do all that? It's just amazing. She says, well, I'm 90% blind myself since 13, and so I had a piece of humble pie right then and there. You know, it's just amazing. And she turned to me and she said, you know, it's a good time to be blind right now, because there's a lot of tools and a lot of resources out there that really help you, help us tremendously. So I honestly believe that. But I got a new pee for you that you can use moving forward that I just recently recovered, and that's parks. I went to a national park, and we as disabled handicap folks, we get into
that's
national
right.
parks for free for life. Yeah.
That's right.
So we went to Yosemite and did some hiking.
Cool.
Well, there's another tea for your back pocket. Anyway, thanks for sharing, Howard. I really appreciate your inspirational stories there.
Thanks for your comments, Bob. I agree with you.
You bet.
As well.
It's nice when we can find the perks. There's another P.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Getting a good parking space at the mall when your wife drives you is also good.
Yeah.
But don't let your kids use the handicap placards. They'll get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah,
true.
The director of the Mass Commission for the Blind region that I'm in told me his son once came home from the mall and when it was busy, and he told his dad, you know, it was great to use that handicap placard. And he said, never use that handicap placard without a handicap person, or you'll $500 fine and you'll get in a lot of trouble.
So another great thing is that throughout my conversations with Howard, and I think I had mentioned this earlier, we kind of talk about what happens when we lose vision, and everyone always is like, oh my gosh, is your sense of smell so much better? Or can you sense something totally different now that you have no vision? And, you know, so, Howard and I were talking about that, and he was just like, yeah, I have one sense that's totally heightened now that I lost vision. And I was like, well, what is it? And he's like, it's my sense of humor. And I was like, perfect.
That's very nice. That's a good one.
So really, yeah, really good to remember. I love that.
Well, people ask all the time. I said, oh, I bet your smell got better. I'll bet you've got a heightened sense of hearing. No, just the humor.
It's a great response.
Is this a perfect time, Howard, for the joke? Blind joke?
You tell it.
Well, this is my favorite. Howard told this to me, and I tell it to everyone. I think it's hilarious. Okay, so blind joke. Are you ready? A blind man walked into a bar. But, guys, anyone? That was funny.
That was funny.
I think it's funny.
And then he walked into a chair, and then he walked into a stool.
That was told to me by someone, a 19-year-old I met at the Carroll Center for the Blind, who was blind from birth with retinitis of prematurity, ROP. And if you want to find somebody who can really set an example and give you perspective, the people who are blind from birth, they are completely facile with the tools and the technology. And the ones I met, for the most part, have a superior attitude that we can only aspire to catch up to.
Awesome. Well, I actually didn't even realize the time. It's 15 minutes past 6. Time and you're having fun. So I am going to take us off recording, but first and foremost, Howard, thank you so much for sharing your story with us, sharing some insights, some sweet humor with us, and great resources that we all learn from. So thank you so much. I'm going to quick take us off. And then,
My pleasure. Thank you.
And any, especially first-time callers, if you guys would please hang on, we'll stop the recording, and if you guys want to ask any questions and things like that, we have an awesome group on the phone right now, so if you have any questions, please feel free to ask them, and then to hear a little bit more about the conference. So thank you all for joining us, and hang tight 2 seconds.